been a while since I've been up here, and I appreciate so much the time and opportunity that I have to be able to speak before you tonight. And thank the elders and those that are in charge that have confidence that I will give a lesson tonight. And my hope is that you will be well served. Psalm 100, of course, is a good psalm from David. My lesson is going to concentrate on verse 3. It says, after it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What I'm going to talk tonight to you about is, well, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I thought I'd throw my famous Rockwell poster up here. And Ben had talked about the Christians being in stocks. Well, this poor poster is one of my favorite Rockwell paintings. And for those of you that can't read it, the note is attached to this poor pilgrim who obviously had stolen a chicken leg off of the Thanksgiving table. And it says, "Ye glutton." And of course, you look at him and he's like, well, he doesn't look like a glutton. Anyway, I'll come back to him later. Okay, and this is verse 3. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And there's some sheep. Okay? And it's a wonder that God has chosen us to be compared with sheep. Why not cheetahs, or why not wolves or bears or another animal with a bit of flair? But why the lowly sheep? Bible tells us often throughout the pages that we are sheep. And we are sheep, and God is a shepherd. Sheep and shepherd. It's the heart of the best loving psalm, of course, Psalm 23, which we sang. Our last previous song here was a good rendition of that song, and I thank Nick for choosing those songs for me. But the Psalm 23, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm not an expert on sheep, but I do have some things I want to say. My grandmother had a farm, and she had sheep on them. By the time I was into the picture, the sheep had all been decimated by wolves. And the farm was a nice pasture farm, and after the wolves came and sheep were gone, they decided to go into crops. And so they tilled the ground and made corn and got rid of the animals because they were gone. And part of my discussion tonight will be about, you know, the flocking and the tending of the sheep. There's an interesting article about Christian living, and the author, who I can't find his name on this page, but he talks about his time in Iran, where he had observed several shepherds coming together in this watering basin, and the shepherds were observed with their individual flocks. And as they were watering the sheep, he was amazed that these shepherds just came together. And they came from different areas, and they were watering the sheep, and the sheep were being fed and watered. And suddenly, when it was time for them to leave, he watched, and they all gathered their sheep and left. But the sheep intermingled within themselves. And it was beside him, how could that be? What did they have? Did they have certain electronic devices on their collars that kind of told them what group they were at? Well, the sheep themselves were guided by their master, by their shepherd. And so he interviewed these shepherds, and he asked them, he says, aren't you afraid that you're going to get someone else's sheep? And he said, no, because the sheep know me. They know my voice. They hear my voice and they know me. And not only that, but I know them and I have them named. I know their names. And as they would call the sheep out, they would go to their own shepherd and respectfully go their own ways. And it just amazed him that these sheep had such intelligence to know the master's name, you know, and they followed him. And he was remarking about how intelligent sheep were, but also how dumb they were. And the sheep are incredibly intelligently dumb. I could use the stupid word, but dumb is probably just as good. Sheep have a flair, and perhaps maybe that's why God has chosen us to represent that we're represented by sheep because we understand where a sheep is and where their intelligence could be, because to us, we see the dumbness of sheep, and yet we see the wisdom of God. You know, you compare our wisdom to God's wisdom, and it's incomparable. And so we're like those sheep compared to God's wisdom. Sheep are followers. They will follow each other and just follow along, and just go around. And they have their own ways, their own patterns. They have their own styles, their own attitudes. And later on, I'm going to talk about, are sheep good pets? Well, you can be the judge of that. There are a group of shepherds in this group that this Christian Living author was talking about. And it just so happens while he was there, some of these shepherds decided to go to breakfast together, and they left their sheep unattended. And what happened was, there's a cliff in eastern Turkey, and some 1,500 sheep fell off this cliff. And out of the 1,500, 500 of them died. But the remaining 1,000 sheep or so, they survived because they all had nice fluffy pillows to land on. And what happened was, these sheep were following each other, and they followed each other to the brink of the cliff, and they just kept jumping and jumping and jumping. So the remaining 1,000 had those nice fluffy pillows that were down on the bottom, and they survived. And that's what sheep do. They follow each other. They're followers. Or they'll follow some idea, or they'll pattern themselves. And they estimated that the loss was somewhere around $75,000 that ended up with sheep, because they're prone to wander. And sheep are so silly. They wander away from the flock. They're dumb and they're directionless. They really have no direction. And left to themselves, sheep will not and cannot last very long. They cannot survive. There'll be animals or influences that will divide them, and then they will be decimated or eaten by prey, by predators. So, think about it. Animals react differently when they're forced to fight or when they're some sort of danger. They will either fight or flight or posture. And sheep will posture. They will gather together in their group. And that's their only defense. They collect themselves together. What a way to fight. Let's all band together. And so what they'll do is they'll run around in circles in hopes that by running around in circles, they will, I could be advancing this, they will, oh, where did that gizmo go? They'll say, well, I hope someone gets them, I hope the wolf gets them, but not me. So, okay, here we go. Here's some more sheep. There's my lamb, that guy. Okay, so we are his sheep, and we are led, easily led astray. Some more sheep. There's a shepherd leading his sheep. Sheep are creatures of habit, kind of like we are. We're creatures of habit. So when I talk about sheep, I'm talking about us too. So these creatures of habit go by their way. And we're easily led astray. Okay, so we have a football game tonight, Sunday night. Nobody will miss me. Let's go to the football game. Then next week, it's something else. And then the week after, it's something else. And suddenly, you quit going to church on Sunday nights because you've been captivated. And now you're led astray. Wednesday nights. Well, we got something going on Wednesday night. There's a Christmas party or there's something going on. And then suddenly our creatures of habitness come upon us. And suddenly the most important thing of the week is Sunday. And then gradually, oh, it's good weather for fishing or camping and so forth. We're easily led astray. So, you know, we are creatures of habit, just like sheep. Okay, so sheep can't really run very fast. They got short little legs, and they're full of wool and everything, and they run around in a panic, and that's just the way they are. They can't fight. They're dumb. They're directionless, and they're defenseless. So God is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. We need to humble ourselves and listen to his word all the time, and one of the outlying themes of my talk here is talking to God. Because if God is going to hear us, if God is going to know that you're from his flock, you need to talk to him. You need to talk to him in prayer. You need to talk to him in song. Some of the shepherds in this article was saying that the early shepherds, don't know if it's true today, but when a sheep would wander from its fold and go away from the fold, and the shepherd would have to get him and bring him back to the fold, after a certain point of time, that shepherd gets tired of doing that, and that sheep tends to want to wander. So what those shepherds will do, they will break their hind legs. It sounds like a cruel thing. What the shepherd then does, he puts that sheep around his neck. And that sheep will stay with him. He will set his legs, and that sheep will heal. But that sheep will know his voice. That sheep will learn his commands and will know his master. And sometimes the good shepherd has to set us back a little bit so that we quit wandering. And that's an important thing. There's some interesting, fun-filled facts about sheep. Let's see. I got to see where I'm at on this. Okay, one sheep wandered off a cliff. Oh, yeah, I talked about that one. Sheep are dumb and defenseless. Sorry, guys, I'm just ahead of myself. When dangers threaten, what do? They flock. They run in groups and circles and panic, hoping that the bears or wolves or lions will choose someone but not them. Someone but not me. There's some more sheep. We are in need of a shepherd. It's great we have shepherds here, because shepherds are watching over us, watching over our souls, keeping us out of danger, keeping us out of harm's way. We need to listen to the shepherd. We need to seek his guidance. There we are. Some sheep facts. That's where I'm at. I got some facts. Nothing like some facts to brighten us up here. Okay, sheep production began during biblical times. In fact, in Genesis 4, verse 2, we find that one of the first shepherds was Abel. He provided the most perfect sacrifice unto the Lord. He was a tender of sheep and animals. And his sacrifice was so moving to the Lord that when compared to Cain's sacrifice, Abel's was the more perfect sacrifice. And of course, we know the lesson there that Cain's countenance had fallen because Abel had offered a more perfect sacrifice. And then that countenance added to misery and added to murder. So Abel became probably the first sacrifice as a result of his perfect sacrifice to sheep. So man learned how to spin wool around 3500 B.C., There are over 40 breeds of sheep in the U.S. and approximately 900 different breeds of sheep around the world. Sheep come in different sizes. They have long tails, they have rat tails, they have fat tails, they have skinny tails, they have short tails, different types of sheep. Some sheep have horns. Sheep were smuggled into the States during the 17th centuries to develop wool industry. Goats and sheep were first brought to America by Columbus in 1493. Prior to that, there were no sheep here. The Navajo Churro is the oldest breed of sheep in the United States. In 1698, America was exporting wool. George Washington raised sheep on Mount Vernon. President Woodrow Wilson grazed sheep on the White House lawn. Governor Noble here in Indianapolis, had a mansion which was on the circle. Well, Mrs. Noble did not like her laundry being out there in public view, so that mansion laid abandoned. But sheep tended the yard and used to graze on the very circle of Indianapolis. Female sheep are called the ewe. Male sheep is called a ram or a buck. Baby sheep is a lamb. So a sheep under a year old is a lamb. That's where we have our lamb. Different than a sheep. A doe can have up to 1 to 3 lambs per litter, and oftentimes they have twins. Sheep do not have teeth. They just have an upper plate, and it's divided. They have teeth on the bottom. They have 24 molars and 8 incisors. 1 year's growth of fleece is about 8 pounds of wool. And wool sheep are usually shorn once a year. Meat from a grown sheep is called mutton. Group of sheep is called a flock. Pasture carrying capacity for sheep is generally 5 to 6 ewes and lambs per acre. You don't want to put them in your yard. If you have a yard as small as ours, it would decimate the grass and you'd end up losing your grass. An immature ram is called a ram lamb, and the female is referred to an ewe lamb. Birth weight for lambs may range from 5 to 8 pounds, and the life expectancy for sheep is between 6 to 11 years. Sheep generally consume 2 to 4.5 pounds of food daily. Mature weight of a ram is between 150 to 450 pounds. Sheep milk is used to make gourmet cheese. The fat or tallow from sheep can be used to make soap and candles. Sheep are animals that are over 1 year of age, then they're classified as a sheep. Lambs are less than 1 year of age. Yearling is an animal between 1 and 2 years of age that may or may not have yet produced offspring. Sheep make the sound ba. That was good, wasn't it? Goats make the sound ma. 1 pound of wool can make 10 miles of yarn. The small intestines of 11 sheep are needed to make one tennis racket. So when you're out there playing tennis, there are 150 yards or 450 feet of wool yarn in a baseball. Sheep have very poor eyesight, but excellent sense of hearing. In fact, their eyes are slit. If you look at their pupils are horizontal, and they're that way that they can see 360 degrees behind them. They can see their tail, their rear end, and they have that ability. Sheep are considered grazers, and goats are considered browsers, which means that sheep will eat at the root of the grass, whereas a goat will eat from the top of the leaf on down. Sheep are born with or without horns. Sheep are very social creatures. Healthy lambs can stand within minutes after birth and are able to move within the herd immediately. The Jacob sheep, it's a breed of primitive multi-horned sheep, is patterned with black and white spots. Jacob chose those sheep. He wanted the speckled ones or the spotted ones. And his herd could be differentiated from the others because he chose the ones that were different. Sheep can be milked like cows. And it's made for gourmet cheeses. And, of course, the meat from lamb chops or mutton is another food product. Sheep can be set up on their rumps for restraint during procedures such as foot trimming and shearing. When sheep receive a haircut, it's called shearing. The wool is cut off, is washed to get dirt, insects, and straw out, and then it's dyed and cleaned and spun into yarn. If you see a sheep on its back, lend a hand. Sheep cannot get up from this position. If left on its back too long, it will eventually die. So we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Isaiah 53:6. We can turn there. This is the part in Isaiah, where Isaiah foretells the coming of the Lord. He in Isaiah 53. We begin in verse 3. It says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed." All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. It's interesting because sheep are that way. They're very easily disturbed. They're high maintenance, for one. But they get disturbed at the change of shadows or even colors. They recognize colors, and that can upset them. And sheep are concerned about their fellow sheep when they're being led to the slaughter. But yet when it's their turn to die, they do not complain. They do not say a word or complain or bah or anything. They just take it. And so fitting, we are like sheep in many ways. The Lord is like sheep. But the Lord is our shepherd. Notable shepherds of the Bible: Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and of course David and Jesus. And David being very important. In Psalm 23, we know that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And as the song was sung, we know the words to that song. Psalm 23. Let's go ahead and read that. Psalm 23. I think it's important. And I've learned, I think, from Neil, from his lessons, that this is from the viewpoint of the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, David, one of the most noted shepherds about. In fact, I think he even defined what shepherds do. He was anointed to replace Saul because Saul messed up. Saul provided himself to be the priest and offered the duties of the priest prior to the battle against the Philistines. And this was displeasing to God. And so God had removed the Holy Spirit from the presence of Saul. But then Samuel had to go out and find a replacement. Who would be the one to replace Saul? So we hear about David. Although when Samuel was told to go to the house of Jesse, the house of Jesse, knowing that Saul was there to find a replacement king, presented his seven brothers to Saul. And this, in a way, is almost like a Cinderella story, because they hid David. David was out in the pasture tending the flock. And so Jesse presented each of the brothers one by one, and they all were mighty looking and strong. But that's not what the Lord was looking for. He was looking for a leader in a different way. Not the tall leader that Saul was. He was looking for one that had the capability of handling men. A shepherd, of all things. And so Samuel asks Jesse, surely you have another son. And Jesse says, well, yeah, we have David. He's out in the pasture tending to the flock, and you really don't want to talk to David. But Samuel pressed the issue, and sure enough, David was anointed. He was the exact person that Saul needed. And of course, David then proves himself. When the Philistine Goliath was in Gath, and I have a lot of reading here, but I know it's going to cut into our time, so I'm going to pass forward. But we're just going to talk about it. Saul was amazed that David would come and offer himself to fight against Goliath. And Saul tried to talk David out of this. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go out because he had not yet proved it, had not yet proved the weapons. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. He took his staff in his hand, and he chose them 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and then a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield in front of the Philistine went before him. The Philistine looked about, and he saw David, and he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and a ruddy and a fair countenance. The Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day the Lord will deliver thee unto mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. This assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and there came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And he smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and he took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So we have the story of David and Goliath. David owned his skill as a shepherd. What did he do in his spare time? He took this little sling and he did target practice with it. He was out there zinging things with his sling and his stones. So David made wise use of his time and was able to overcome those predators that bothered the sheep. I think we talked a little bit about Isaiah 53 already. And then John the Baptist, we fast forward into the time of Jesus, and he saw Jesus coming, and he said to him, saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Of course, we have a peaceful scene of the water where baptisms occurred. Jesus, the loving shepherd. So we're going to end this with John 10, verse 1 through 18. And this is really, really where we learn about shepherds. From the mouth of Jesus, we learn the very act of what a shepherd does. And John was answering the call to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were complaining that Jesus had healed a blind man on the Sabbath. And they were trying to tell him, you can't do that on the Sabbath. That's blasphemy. And so Jesus said unto them in verse 41 of John 9:9, he said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. In John 10, we have this discourse that defines what a shepherd is and what sheep are and how our relationship is between God and the shepherd. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Interesting. Remember the shepherds in Iran, how they called their sheep by name and how they knew them?
And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what they were being told. Jesus said to them, Verily I say to you that I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, and he sees the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They should hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. We need to be aware of sheep in wolves' clothing. And I looked it up. Does this happen? Do sheep actually put on the clothing? Or do wolves actually put on the clothing of sheep and then enter into a fold? And I found that I didn't find any actual example where that had occurred. But yet there are some earlier fables. But in particular in Matthew 7:15, it talks about beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. And that's what our shepherds are doing for us today here in this building. They are checking to see if there are ravenous wolves among us that are wearing sheep's clothing. How do we know that? Those ravenous wolves are known by their fruits. Their fruits will tell them who they are. Okay, here's a conclusion. He needs to hear your voice. Pray to him often. God needs to know. He is the shepherd. He needs to hear your voice. If you pray to him when the plane is crashing and you've never prayed to him before, how can he save you? You're not of his flock. You need to pray to him. You need to hear his voice. You need to learn of him and listen to his word. Sheep are creatures of habit. If you forsake his assembly, you're missing out. You are lost. Wolves will find you, and they will divide you like sheep. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God and must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who seek him. We must obey. We must confess men before God. Must confess me before men in Matthew 10:32. Luke 13:3, except that you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent and baptize. Be baptized. Obey the shepherd. Here we have our poor pilgrim, ye glutton. It's interesting, I use the glutton because of the Thanksgiving theme and so forth. I kind of thought that was different. But sheep themselves can be gluttons. They're gluttonous. If they overeat these store-bought pellets, their stomachs cannot hold it. And they will eat to the point where they will die. And so we have to watch ourselves. Be careful this week. Don't overeat. So if you're subject to the invitation of God's word, you can come forward now as we stand and sing the invitation song.